Somebody say understanding favor. Hallelujah. Stand if you can. We're just going to read a few verses. Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read the first 9 verses. Is that all right? Are you there? In the 3rd year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Whew. When we began this series early this month, the intent was to trace God's pattern to his response to those who choose to live their lives by the scriptures. We have talked about that. We talked about living our lives by the scriptures. How many of you know that that's why you were created? You were created to praise God, bless God, worship God. But you are recreated to live by the scriptures. Yeah. We it's delicate when we say we live by the word. But I want to make it plain. We are to live by the scriptures, by the Bible, which is the word of God. Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Well, when we live according to the scriptures, we are living by faith. Mm-hmm. When we live by the scriptures, there is a constant evolving, a constant blooming, a pattern of spiritual maturity that mimics that of one who hungers and thirsts for one who is greater. The more you get into the word, the more you hunger. More you thirst for the greater one. For the greater one. We mentioned before that we have, by the master's hand, been created by divine design. And we were created by this design to fit his plans and purposes. Now, this might be in your notes. If you don't have the CD, you need to get all 4 because they all run concurrently and they'll all be a blessing to you. Ecclesiastes 7:9 tells us that God made man upright, but they have sought out many devices, and they still do. God made man upright, but he deviated to chase after his own desires, selfish desires. That's what you call a desire when you go for it after a commitment to God. That's what you call it when you disobey God. That's what you call it when you don't even have an inkling on who God is and you still choose to go your own way. You are chasing after your own desires. It's called selfish desires. Anything away from God is selfish desire. Amen. Selfish, because you're going out for something that pleases you. Makes you feel better. Makes you look better. Makes you the toast of the town. Make you the big shot. You're chasing after selfish desires. And so that is just an influence that comes from beneath. We talked about standing up. When you stand up for righteousness, when you stand up for that which is right, you're actually in the spirit standing up on 2 feet. Until you desire and choose to stand up, you're actually in the spirit crawling on all fours. You're walking around just like an animal. Or you can look in the mirror and you say, I'm not walking on my all fours. But you are in the spirit because you have decided to choose to live from below instead of above. And so when we say stand up, we're talking about the whole man standing up. You got to stand up in every area of your life. It is what you call a righteous cleansing. How many of you must understand? You must understand this, is that before you came to Christ, you were covered with a whole lot of stuff. Yes, both inside and out. Yes. Roofless we were. Yes. Hoodlums we were. Yes. Thugs we were. Yes. Bumbling idiots we were. But all of that, we attain and gain from the world system. The world puts that on you. We can't blame sickness on God. Got to blame sickness on a cursed world. The earth is a cursed place. It's under a curse. I don't care how good and sweet those peaches look. Those strawberries might be big as my head, but they're under a curse because you're not seeing them in their reality. The biggest peach we may have seen may be close to the size of an apple. But who's to say what it looked like for real? Remember when they went and sought out the giants in the land? They sent the spies and they went into the land and giants lived there and they came back with great men had to carry them on their shoulders. Great big old fruit. And so when we begin to understand what stand up means, when it stands, and the word means to stand upright. And upright also can be translated righteousness. When we're standing up, we're actually standing in righteousness. And you can only become righteous through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the way to be righteous. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's how we become righteous. You can't be righteous on your own. Because if you can be, then you're going to be called self-righteous. And what's the difference between selfish desire and self-righteousness? Self-righteousness. And the Bible clearly tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't have any righteousness of our own. We're a filthy bunch. Yeah, a filthy bunch we are. And so God made us, originally he made us upright, standing up. But we sought out many devices, and they still do. Most of our church leaders now are so conformed by and consumed with success that creating a thirst among the congregation is seldom heard, much less the impact of the scripture-lived life. I try to listen to pastors. I try, because I want the word just like anybody else. And they leave me walking away from the TV still wanting. Still wanting. And I'm saying, when will they get to the word? When will they do something to appease my thirst? I'm not giving up on them yet. But I look at them sometimes with disdain. And then I look at the congregation, and I said, they're just as baffled as the pastor. Some of the doctrine that's coming across the pulpit is so out of this world. And I'm saying, do they have Bibles? Does anybody question this theology? It's like we make up stuff, and then we make it up to fit what the scriptures probably say. Amen. Just to behoove and to hoodwink the congregation. Yes. And they are successful with it.
Yes,
blows my mind. And so most of the preaching is how to be successful. Instead of how to humble yourself. They have taken worldly theology and they are applying it to the ministry of God. That's what they're doing. Let's keep going. God, boy. Congregation is losing. There's just a little too much worldly success, worldly behavior, worldly dress, worldly preoccupation. And it's springing up in our churches. And it all begins right here in the pulpit. I mean, church getting worldly. Man, my wife and I, we saw somebody on TV that's a preacher. I said, God, she's not dressing like that. She ain't dressing like that and preaching the word. Can I use this word? I hope I don't offend nobody. But she was hoochie, man. She was kind of hooching, man. Stilettos. That somebody painted the jeans on them. That's what that is. How can a man hear what's being taught when his focus is not on the word? His focus is on them painted on jeans. Them stilettos. That's a distraction. And that's something the Bible warns us against, causing our brother and sister to stumble. I don't care how important, how impactful the word she may have been carrying, but she's distracting from the word. Our desire to be more worldly. I don't understand this. I'm not trying to be y'all so I can, I'm not dressing like y'all. Just so I can win you to the Lord. I can get down, don't get me wrong. But it's not my job to get down like y'all. My job is to bring y'all up here where I'm at. Don't look like me, just come up here with me with Jesus. But they think that if we somehow dress like the world, we can draw them closer to us if we act more like them. That's bum theology. Real bum. You'd be surprised now. I'm telling you, mind what I'm telling you. Now you'll really notice it. Now it's been brought to your attention. They got shows on TV, the pastor's wife, the pastor's children. And these are what they call reality shows. The church ain't got no business being no reality show. We need to just be real, right where we are, going out and winning the loss for Jesus. That's about as real as you can get. I don't need to go on TV and have television point out my weaknesses, my bad points. I'm trying to give that stuff away. I'm not trying to draw attention to myself. So we look at that. Our duty as leaders is to encourage sinners after conversion how to live like saints, how to throw away your garments of sin and put on robes of righteousness. In essence, we encourage and teach people how to stand up. We cannot live a life of fullness apart from God. See, what am I saying? If you don't hear the word, what you do, you keep on living it according to how you think it's to be lived. Instead of following the instructions that's in the manual. A manual. When you go in the military, they give you a manual. When you go on a football team, they give you a manual. They give you plays that you need to recall and remember. When you go on, oftentimes, a new job, they give you a manual. Tell you what they expect of you. The things they don't tolerate. What we expect of you. And this is how rules are run in our organization. They give everybody manuals so that you don't have to be the dummy and do something wrong. And they say, well, didn't you get the manual? What manual? No, the manual he gave you the first day you were employed. A lot of times we get the manual, you don't even read, throw it away. And then when something happens, the first thing we want to say is, I didn't know that. Send a manual. But God has given us a manual. He knows us. He knows that we're prone to make mistakes. We're prone to error. We're prone to run our own way. And that's why we have a manual to get back to where we belong. Amen. All have sinned and fall short of the glory. That's everybody. That's every single soul on the face of this planet. Every man, woman, boy, girl, child on this planet is born in sin. Who, me? Yes, you. Everyone born in sin. And if you want to take it up with Adam, when and if we get to heaven, take it up with Adam. Discuss it with him. I'm pretty sure Adam is getting an earful. Why, Adam? Why? Come on, man. Why? See? A whole lot of people got to deal with Adam. But I believe the blood of Jesus is going to cover Adam just like it covers everybody else. But it's got to be on somebody's mind. If not for Adam, I wouldn't have to go through this. See? He's got a lot to bear. But it's because of Adam that every man, woman, boy, and girl on this planet is in sin. Now, the story of Daniel and the three Hebrew boys is very intriguing and doesn't lack for interest and fascination. As a teenager, he's taken. He and his three friends. And they're taken away from their homes in Judah. And they're taken to a beautiful place. Babylon is beautiful. But it's idolatrous. And it's pagan. For some reason, pagan places always look beautiful. Idolatrous places always get our attention. You know, places that they're beautiful, just beautiful. But it's not what's outside that counts. It's what's inside. And Babylon, as gorgeous as it was, as palatial as it was against God. They were idolatrous. They were worship of pagan gods. And they took the choice students when they ransacked Judah and took Jehoiakim as prisoner. But when they got there, they were supposed to be trained as leaders in the service of Nebuchadnezzar. Everything was done to bring them into conformity with the idolatrous lifestyle of Babylon. Even a change of names. Look in verse 7. They were changing their names from godly names and giving them these pagan names. Changing Daniel's name to Belteshazzar. What? Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, Azariah, Abednego. They were bringing them under the influence of their gods and giving them their gods' names. What they were in essence doing to the whole tribe of Judah that they kidnapped and bamboozled was trying to change them over to the Babylonian intellect, have them work for them. They were going to train Daniel and the three Hebrew boys so that they could be leaders. They were intelligent enough. They were handsome enough. They had all the good looks. They were avid learners. These were not just the run-of-the-mill guys. They were highly intelligent. They were highly intelligent in the sciences, in math, the formats that Nebuchadnezzar needed to strengthen his hold as king of Babylon. And so it was his thing to take all the good, all the good looking, all the smart, all the intelligent, and brainwash them. Yes. Take them in this place. And remember, he said that after 3 years, they were going to train them for 3 years. Amen. And get their thinking. There's nothing worse than getting worldly thinking where godly thinking should be. Oftentimes, we raise up children in the church, we preach the word of God, we deliver the gospel, then they go to a college that brainwashes them, changes their thinking about God. First thing they tell them in an intellectual, smart way, that God is not God. There is no God. He's not in intelligent form. You're just worshiping somebody. You are using that as a crutch. Let me tell you something. The most intelligent scientist is ignorant. I don't know nothing about God. I mean, you can see things around you that tells you there's got to be an intelligent mind behind all of this. There is no way that something not intelligent could have everything in the way that he has it. You can't tell me that the Grand Canyon is just there. There's an intelligent mind has been there. Water comes up to the beach, but it goes back. An intelligent mind commands that to happen. Water doesn't just come back and go on its own. No. Everything you see has an intelligent mind behind. In fact, when you read John, it says, in the beginning was the word. That word is translated intelligence. Intelligence. Supreme intelligence at that. And if he commanded the lights to stay on, I don't know anybody else can do that. I don't know anybody else can bring light out of darkness. I don't know anybody else can look at darkness and light at the same time, and they both look the same. Do you? I don't know anybody else that can tell the sun, stop while I give victory to an army on earth. I just don't know a God who can do that. Except the true and living God, the creator of the universe, he who made everything out of nothing. What God do you know can speak everything into existence? Just speak a word. Let there be light. Boom. Let there be light for day. Boom. Let there be light for night. Boom. Let me separate the waters. Top from the bottom. Let me separate water from the cloud. Let me open the curtain, the clouds like a curtain, and hold them back. No God I know but one. We understood how God can take a little germicide, phlegm, human being, and put that being on the head of a needle and bring twins out of it. Bring eyes out of it, hair, color, skin, teeth out of a pin head. And then tell me in 139 of Psalms, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He's intricate with me. I don't have a cell in my body like yours. I don't have the same fingerprints as anybody. I'm different from everybody on the face of this earth. There's nobody like me. There's no two zebras with the same stripes. There's no two lions with the same stripes. There's no two snowflakes that look the same. There's no two grains of sand that look alike. You got to understand. I'm riding down the street yesterday, and I'm looking. I'm saying, man, he is holding this thing together. The Bible says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. And I'm looking at all these trees, and I'm saying, well, he feeds whatever's in there. He feeds the birds and whatever else is in there. And the thing is that he's vigilant over everything that's living while it's here. Amen. Vigilant. He knows everything. He knows every thought. He knows how many hairs on every head in the world. He counts them. He even gives the stars names. This is a God that we serve. And Daniel is aware of it. So it doesn't matter what this king does or says. Daniel will not do what the king wants him to do. I'm not going to eat your food. The Bible says a purpose in his heart. He stood up when it was opportunity for him to conform. Many of us would have conformed. Many of us would have thought like this, man, I'm in the king's house. Look at the food. Drinking, eating, whatever I want, I'm all right. That's what you call sitting down. To know to do right and don't do it is a sin. If you know to do right and don't do it, it's a sin. That's the word. And so now, this is where we want to park our spiritual cars. In verse 9, it's where God brought favor. Favor is such a well-used but misunderstood aspect of the love and will of a sovereign God. You hear it all the time. People talk about favor. Lord, give me favor. I pray for favor. And it's right to pray for favor. It's good. Good to pray for favor. But it is much bigger than that, what God wants to do. He said he brought favor to Daniel right where he was. He just brought it. It's like he knew he needed it. He brought him favor with Ashpenaz and the house of Nebuchadnezzar. That kind of favor, we've seen that before, but God is always doing those whose hearts are right towards him. If you are moving toward God, it's easy to gain favor. You have favor in areas of your life you don't even think about. God gives you favor. He's not a man that he would lie. If he did it for somebody, he'll do it for somebody else. But favor is just a stickler of who God is. He's always brandishing favor right when you need it the most. And it's always in a situation where he's going to be glorified by our actions. What we do, how often are you heading Godward? Is it just Monday and Tuesday? Is it just Wednesday and Sunday? See, favor is attracted to anything that moves toward God. Good God, that's a mouthful then. Anything that's attracted to anything, most often that which it is attracted to is moving. It's on the go. And so when you are on the way to doing what God wants you to do, living the right life, standing up instead of sitting down, instead of crawling on all fours, favor has a tendency to attach itself to anything moving towards God. Wow. You know why I know that's true? Because God has this innate ability that good things and goodness always surrounds him. He can't get rid of goodness. He gives it away, it comes right back. Good God. He gives it away, it comes right back. It doesn't matter. I don't care how good he's been to you. You know what you do? You respond to him by saying, thank you. It comes back to him. So God is surrounded by goodness. And so his favor is one of the betterments of what he has in him. And so when he sends his favor comes right back to him. Anything that's heading toward God can catch favor. If you are living your life Godward, that's why I like when Paul said this. Paul said, I'm pressing on to the upward call. Because he knows that if I'm pressing towards God, everything that God got going to try to catch hold of me and take me to him. Everything that he has, even though Paul had hard times, Paul had favor. See, favor is not predicated on if you are up or down. It depends on where your heart is. God from Zion. If your heart is right towards God, favor will bust right through what you're going through. I'm going to say that again because you missed that. I don't care what you're going through. If your heart is right, favor will bust right through that and bless you in spite of your circumstances. People say you can't make it and you down on your all fours, you about to give up and quit. But favor kicks the door now and attaches itself to your heart. We don't understand favor. Favor doesn't happen. You can't close the door on favor. You can't lock favor out. You can't shut the window. You can't cut the job off. You can't stop favor. It's favor looking for you. You got to ask yourself. Favor is looking for you, and you can't hide from it. You can't run from favor. You can't run from favor. And, you know, you might say, well, favor, you know, I know favor, but what about grace? Because when you talk about grace, the first thing they tell you that grace is unmerited favor. Faith is big, and favor is big, and grace is big. And they sometimes, favor and grace are sometimes used interchangeably. Grace is greater because it's a free gift. Who masked us? See, grace is a free gift. It's undeserved. See, you can get grace. Grace, you don't deserve grace. God dispenses grace even if you don't deserve it. You know you can't earn it. You haven't done anything to get it. The difference between grace and favor is this. Favor is deserved. Favor is also gained. When you do certain things, you can honestly say, I deserve that. Oh, Lord have mercy. I done lost y'all. Favor, you can say, I deserve that. I gained that. Well, what did you do? My heart is right towards God. Good God Almighty, my heart is right towards God. Favor's got to come my way. Y'all don't know how to look for favor. You got to understand when you know your life is right, when you know you're walking right before God, when you know you're doing all you should be doing, you're honoring his word, you're loving your neighbor like you love yourself, favor is looking for you. You can't stop favor. It's looking for you. God from Zion. You see, the thing that gets me about favor and grace is that they're both five-letter words. Grace in numerology is five. Five. Five, five represents grace. Check the scriptures. When David was on his way to killing Goliath, he picked up five smooth stones. When Jesus was about to feed the 5,000, he pulled out five loaves and two fish. When Daniel and his friends got thrown into the lions in the fire at first, fiery furnace, the scripture said that they threw in four. But they looked in and they saw five. That's grace. Jesus stepped into the furnace with them and made grace come in there. He showed them favor. There is a man in John that was at the gate called the Pool of Bethesda. The Bible said the porches were five. It was five porches at the gate and in the pool. And Jesus stepped in and said, well, why are you sitting here? Time to get up. Favor showed up. Five steps, five loaves, five stones, five letter word, G-R-A-C-E, F-A-V-O-R, grace and favor. If you get surrounded by something that even look like five, look like five, look for favor. Look for grace. Somebody says, Stan, we can't pay you until 5 o'clock. You say, hallelujah. So we don't know about you, but we got five pieces of paper against you. We want to draw charges against you. Bring them on. Five? When you start seeing five, you better start shouting. Glory to God. What month is this? Where is my favor? I'm in the fifth month right now looking for it. Favor. Favor. See, what favor? Favor can be cultivated and appropriated into our lives. You can cultivate favor. You mean to tell me, Pastor, there's some things I can do for favor to come into my life? Yes, you can. See, favor can be gained. Amen. And it is deserved. Amen. Favor. You know who had favor? Esther had it. Yes. Ruth had it. Right. Joseph had it. Right. Noah had it. All right. They all had favor. God found favor in them. Okay, let's see. Noah found favor. Ruth found favor. Esther found favor. Nehemiah obtained favor. Daniel obtained favor. It can be cultivated. The only stipulation in most cases is living in God's direction. See, you got to make up your mind whose direction you're going to live in. I mean, Tell me you living in God's direction and they see you at the club every week. Amen. Talk to me. I'm talking to Christians who have no business being in a club. As if you don't have enough other things to do. You could be winning your neighbor. You could be gaining your favor. You should be chasing hard after God. And here you're going to spend a night in a club with the devil. Don't know if you're going to live that night or not. Somebody can erupt in that club and shoot sporadically and blow your brains out. Yeah. See, certain places you ought not be. That's not living Godward. You're not going in God's direction. So when you live like that, you don't have a right to ask for favor. You don't have a right. Because God can't bless what the devil is doing. God can't bless that. He's not going to give the devil favor. Oh, so see, we got to get this thing right in our mind that I'm going to either live for God or I'm just not going to live for him. There's no two ways about it. You either are or you're not. Can't just do what you want to do. The only stipulation in most cases is living in God's direction. Proverbs 10:29 says, the way of the Lord is strength for the upright. The way of the Lord is strength for the upright. You go the Lord's way. You can't get weaker. You get stronger. You fall in chasing hard after God. He provides strength. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. Now, how would you love to have that kind of favor? That your way pleasing God so much, here come favor. Here come favor. When a man's ways please the Lord, favor comes and makes your enemies have peace with you. The same enemy that couldn't stand you yesterday will come to you this morning and say, God bless you. How you doing? Need anything? And see, we can't be looking surprised if we know the scripture. Don't be looking surprised. He come and ask you, do you need anything? He said, yeah, I sure do. You see that car down there? See that car? I need that car. You are really trusting God now. You're trusting God's favor on your life. I need that car right there. And I'm going to tell you something. When God makes your enemies to be at peace with you, your enemies will be at peace with you. They will go down and ask, how much is that car? I don't put nothing past God. I don't. I believe he can touch your heart. He says the heart of the king is in his hand, and he turns it whithersoever he will. He controls the heart of a king. See? He brought Nebuchadnezzar against Jehoiakim for their ungodly living and brought all of Jehoiakim's gold and treasures and put it in his pagan house. God did that. If you're not living right for God, God has called somebody to come take your stuff. You got a whole lot of stuff, and yet you're not living for God, not giving God the praise for it, not thanking God for what he's blessed you with, not counting God as the one who favored you. God will send somebody to come and take your stuff piece by piece. Here you are loving God, and God is bringing people in to take away your furniture. See, you got to be a good steward over God's goodness. See, you can't just treat God like he hasn't been good to you. See, you got a roof over your head? Glory to God. All that rain we had the past couple of days, you may have been wet walking through it, but you were safe when you reached the home heaven, the home haven, I'm sorry, when you reached the haven of home. Glory to God. See, there's so much favor that's being dispensed that we don't even recognize it. Favor in your health, favor in your deeds and what you put your hands to do. I'm not saying that you can go out and get everything that you desire, but favor comes at the right time. God sends it at the right time. He sends it right when you need it. He sends favor. And favor, you know, some people say favor is sporadic, but that's the way they preach it. But favor is something that you're supposed to have all the time. We must have ways that please God. Are we neighborly? Do we really have the joy of the Lord? Are we excited about this gift of salvation that frees me in every way? See, you got to be hungry about being saved. Excited about it. Man, I'm saved. I mean, we treat saved like it's a T-shirt we put under another shirt. I don't understand that. You cover your salvation up as if you're not proud of it. You're not excited about having your life snatched from the clutches of the devil. That you're not excited about being the one who was on a bus to hell and God pulled you off. You need to be excited. You need to be excited about that. You need to be excited about the goodness of God, that God is so good to you that he'll send somebody to lead you to salvation. Here you was about to die. Here he's about to commit suicide, about to lose your mind. God takes the time, send somebody to you, deliver you out of that dilemma, and you scared to tell somebody. Scared to tell somebody what the Lord done for you. You just a closet Christian. You need to be like the homosexuals and come out the closet. Everybody else can come out. We're looking for some Christians. Come out wherever you are. Don't that just make you mad when you meet an undercover Christian? Don't tell nobody they saved. Don't tell nobody about Jesus. Ain't excited about nothing. Ain't got a shout. Ain't got a hallelujah. Don't have a thank you, Jesus. Don't have nothing in their arsenal. And yet when the devil comes, the first thing they want to do is call on Jesus. My mouth is running this morning. We need to be made aware that God is a good God and that his intentions are to bless you, coming and going. That's all he wants to do is bless you. Why are you being so ignorant when God wants to bless you? If somebody came in my house and told me this is all yours, I want to give it to you free. Take these gifts. I couldn't open that door wide enough. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you for that refrigerator. Thank you for that living room suit. Thank you for that furniture. I thank you for that big screen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Shout it all the way. I shout from sunup to sundown. Y'all, I like somebody to give you something. You say, oh, thank you. I'm so glad you gave me that. I'm going to put it in the back room. Give me a big screen. I'm subject to put it right on the front porch. Let everybody know what the Lord has done. Huh? I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell it when he heals me. I'm going to tell it when he delivers me. I'm going to tell it when he sets me free. I'm going to tell it when he blesses me. I'm going to tell it when he does anything you want to do. I'm going to tell somebody. The Bible said, let the redeem of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to be excited about this salvation. Mm-hmm. God Almighty, he saved me. I don't know where you were when you got saved, but I can tell you exactly where I was going. I was going in the wrong way, in a hurry, doing things I wanted to do, not satisfied with my life, sad every time I look in the mirror, but I couldn't stop. But Jesus came in, set me free. No way. I will not be quiet. Won't be quiet. See? He gives you joy, gives me peace, loving kindness, tender mercies, showers me with blessings. Every day I wake up, it's new mercy. Every morning I get up, another one shows up. I'm not going to shout it. I'll shout it from the rooftop. I shout it from the block. I shout it from your house. I shout it because God is good all the time. Is he good? Hallelujah. Tug up. No. Hallelujah. Shouting out of him. I'm shouting. You get a shout in you when you start shouting from confidence. When you know that who you believe in, you get confident in God. You'll shout anywhere. People not going to hold you down. I'm telling you, this thing will get you and it will become infectious. You can just be minding your own business. I don't know if this happened to you, but just the just the thought. A thought come from heaven, and it just goes right through me like a lightning bolt, and it says, Jesus loves you. I get to shout and shake. Lord, thank you. Thank you. And it doesn't matter where I am. Dentist's office, food line, Walmart, it doesn't matter. When that feeling of comfort comes and hits me, good God from Zion, I just want to shout. I said, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you better say thank you. Thank you for the food on the table. Thank you for the clothes on my back. Thank you for the car that I drive. Thank you for the food on the table again. Thank you for the lights in my house. Thank you for the water in my house. Thank you that I got a house. Thank you got a roof over my head. I thank you, Jesus. Everything that I have comes from the Lord. Do you have a friend? Do you have a friend? God gave it to you. God gave you a friend. Mm-hmm. And so you got to ask yourself, do you hunger and thirst for God? Are you patient and enduring? Favor rides on our disposition towards God and man. It's not just on you because of the way you're going in God's direction, but do you treat your fellow man right? See, you can't treat God all good and treat people dirty. Well, sometimes we think we can just love God and hate our neighbor. Treat people any kind of way. Unresponsive, cold, calculating, backbiting, cheating, stealing, can't wait to talk behind their back. Favor don't follow that. Favor don't follow that. No, you got to do better than that. Listen to this. Proverbs 3:3-4 says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your hearts. So you will find favor and high esteem. Hallelujah. In the sight of God and man. Mercy and truth attracts favor. He says, don't forsake them. Bind them around your neck so you don't lose them. I like that. Take mercy and truth and put it around your neck like a tie. I can't lose it. He said, if you got it around your neck, favor is coming. Amen. You got mercy and truth? Show mercy. Did anybody ever show you mercy? Then it's time for you to show mercy. You ought to show mercy to somebody else. And then walk in truth. It attracts favor. Come on now, y'all understand me. It attracts favor when you live right. I need favor. I can't make it in this life without it. I need favor everywhere I go. Huh? I need favor. I'm not that good. Anything that God gives me, I need it. And if he tells me take mercy and truth, wrap around my neck, take the word of God and wrap around my neck, bind it on the tablet of my heart, keep the word in me, my word I have kept in my heart that I might not sin against you. I hid it in my heart. Favor. Favor is attracted to that. Favor does this. Favor is wonderful. God chasers find favor. You chasing after God? While you chasing after God, favor is chasing after you. I'm running after God, favor is running after me. You got to, oh God, y'all don't, you got to see this. It's running after you. You seen the commercials when the guy walk behind a lady and she drops a purse. And in the commercial, you think that this guy's going to take that purse and keep it. This guy takes that purse and takes a shortcut to find out where this lady is so he can catch up with her and catch her at the bus stop and say, ma'am, you dropped this. That's what favor. That's what favor would do. Favor will catch what you can catch a bus. Favor take a shortcut and meet you where you're supposed to end up at. Say, man, did you know I was here waiting on you? Did you know I was waiting on you? Did you know I was looking for you? Did you know I was running behind you? If you chasing God, favor gonna chase you. Now I don't know who's gonna run the fastest, but if I turn up the volume and I run behind God with all my might, I know a whole lot of favor's got to catch up with me. Favor. Mm-hmm. Listen to what the writer said in Philippians 4:19. And my God, Philippians 4:19, And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now let me add this. Let me put this in the onion in case you missed this. Your giving attracts favor. Amen. Your giving attracts favor. You know why I say that? It's because this scripture for Philippians 4:19 is a giving scripture. It's a promise made to those who gave. So that means if you're not a giver, you're not eligible for this scripture. I know it don't sound sweet, don't sound right, but it's right. Tight, but it's right. This is a giving scripture. He says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. This is when favor catches up to what you're doing towards God. Your giving attracts favor. Proverbs 18:22. Listen to this now. He who finds a wife finds a good thing.
Hallelujah.
I knew I was going to get that. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Glory to God. And this is a double blessing. Because first he finds a wife and it's a good thing. But then it says also that he obtains favor from the Lord. Most people who get married don't understand the blessing of the Lord. God blesses your marriage. If you can only understand the blessing that God has on your marriage, you will let a petty argument keep you and your wife from getting along. Y'all need to cut that out. That ain't nothing but the devil trying to fool you, trying to unhook you. You done already got hooked to the source. Why are you going to let the devil break you and your wife up when y'all ain't even took the time to work this thing out? When you find a wife, you find a good thing. You should be thanking God for that. Then the second part of the scripture says, and you obtain favor from the Lord. Most of us don't stick around for the blessing, don't even stick around for the favor. That's because we don't know the word. Mm-hmm. Gonna keep some favor. There is more than enough favor for everybody. Let me say this. See, now I want you to, when you hear people pray for favor and you see people, you ask for it too. Because there's more than enough. God is not inexhaustible. You can't run, he ain't run out of nothing. You'll never hear God say, I'm broke. You'll never see God say, I don't have no more of that. I'm out of it. No. He's inexhaustible. He can't lose a blessing if he's directing it towards you. And so he covers everybody with his favor. Listen to what Proverbs said, 19 and 12. The king's wrath is like the roaring lion, but his favor is like dew on the ground. Dew covers everything. You get up in the morning, see them dew out in the morning, everything is covered by it. That's the favor. It covers everything. It's just like that yellow stuff. Pollen. It covers everything. Huh? Yeah, that's favor. Glory to God. Somebody say, man, I don't like that yellow stuff, but the favor is it's falling on your car. I'll feel sad for you if it was just falling on your driveway. With no car. Say amen to that. See, you can't keep looking at the pollen and cursing the pollen. Look at the thank you that God has sent you a car to have pollen on it. Favor. You know what you call favor? I'm going to break this down to you. It's the F-O-G. It's the favor of God. I got the F-O-G working for me. I'm going to show it that all the world can see. Because I'm living in the F-O-G. Mm-hmm. Now listen, he says, Proverbs tell us that wisdom, this is what Proverbs tells us. Proverbs tells us that wisdom is the principal thing. And it tells us to get wisdom. With all you're getting, get understanding. We got favor for that. Listen to Proverbs 13:15. It tells us that good understanding gains favor. God wants you to get understanding so you can get favor. Amen. Isn't that amazing how he ties all his goodness together? You get good understanding, you get favor. It's nothing like having good understanding. Now, understanding is actually, you know, it's wisdom intact, but it's knowing how to use wisdom. Knowing how to use. Wisdom is knowing how to use knowledge. Understanding is how to use wisdom. When you understand something, I don't care if it's a math problem or fixing a bike or plumbing, once you learn it and understand how to do it, a light comes on. You get happy inside. Like you're doing something great. Well, you know, tightening up a toilet stool that's leaking is good. That's big news for me. That saved me a lot of water, a lot of mopping. That light comes on. I'm hallelujah. I feel like I just invented the light bulb. Glory to God. I don't know if any of you feel like that, but men, most men, whoever did something and got it working. Most men that did anything and got it working can agree with me on that. They say, hallelujah, I fixed it. And you go into your wife and say, baby, I got it done. I fixed it, baby. You feel like you done did something great. Fixed it, baby. Yeah, I did it. In the right, I got it right. See, it says that good understanding gains favor, and I want to say this, and we're gonna close it out right here. If you think favor is just something that happens ever so often, the way that it's taught that it only happens to certain people. But we've already discussed the certain people, the people who chase after God. So that's settled. Now the ball is on you. This is a principle. Now the ball is on you. Now that you know what you have to do to get favor, just apply it. Just apply what you've heard today. Walk upright with God. Get your life right with God. Follow hard after God. Go to God's word. Love people. Love God. Love doing things right for a change. And watch favor follow you. It'll follow right behind you. And so you won't think that it's just for a certain amount of people. Go to Psalms 30. And we're going to close this. Psalms 30. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just pray for that baby. We pray for his teeth and gums. We're praying for good old-fashioned oral gel. That tastes real good. Hallelujah. You're going to bring him some peace. Because we understand what teething feels like. We know what it's like, Lord. So we just thank you for giving rest and peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 30. Let's go to verse, is it 5, I think. Listen to this. So that you won't think that it's just every now and then. It's not. Listen to what the word says. For his anger, let's do 4. Sing praises to the Lord, you saints of his. Who is he talking to? And give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Huh? Good God. Hallelujah. Whoa. Huh? Somebody ought to go ahead and receive that. Huh? Come on now. It's for life. It's not no, I'll get you later and I'll give you some sometime. No, no, no. This is for life. Huh? Have mercy. His mercy is for life. Come on now. Is that all right, Sister Janet? Huh? Lord to God, I can have favor for life. How many of you going to start looking for it? Huh? Start looking for your favor. Start looking for things to turn out right. Stop getting the enemy to tell you negative things about yourself. You start saying the right things. I'm going with God. My God shall supply all my needs. I got favor for life. Huh? Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord some praise before we go.
Yes, sir.
I got favor for life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Favor for life. Woo-wee. Favor is his good pleasure, his good will, his beauty. I love it. He can do that. He can do that. We need to start looking on the other side of the street and stop worrying about what's on our side. Go look on the other side of the street. God's got favor for us. And in that favor, is everybody feeling okay? I haven't seen a fan wave in here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Hunt. Everybody feel good? Feels good in here. Glory to God. I want to say I thank all of you for being so patient last Sunday because, you know, we know it was excruciating, a little excruciating. Excruciating?